The date is August 26th, 1994, and we're watching Wagons East. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and back with me, as always, is the, Phil Taylor to my James Harlow.
Hello everybody, it's Colin Stewart. Back. Back in the saddle again.
Back in the saddle for our Western month.
The wagon.
Back maybe, in the I wagon, guess. Yeah. Yeah, circling the... Squaring up the wagons today.
Let's
get
our wagons squared.
Call him back from his little break. So this week, we're doing a Western month. So we're looking back at August 1994, when the movies and theaters were Airheads, Natural Born Killers, Little Rascals, The Next Karate Kid, and of course, our movie for today, Wagons East, which earned a painful $4.4 million on an $8 million budget. So, yeah, did it got a little over halfway there.
And just they lost a lot of money and a famous comedian.
Well, I'm wondering if, like Almost Heroes, it just, you know, there's kind of a cloud of sadness over this movie that makes me wonder whether that might have impacted it. Or it could just be a shitty movie. And, yeah. I mean, we'll get there.
Yeah. But you stole my squaring wagons. I was going to use that for this. There will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want this movie spoiled for you, like insinuated cannibalism, then please press pause, go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
I'm sorry that I took one of the only good references from this movie. I apologize for that. Well,
all right.
This week, I mean, we've only got one tagline this week, but you know, it's not too bad. Like, it's actually almost the better writing than the movie itself. I legitimately actually like this one. Okay, here we go. They came, they saw, they changed their minds.
I should have just used that for the 60-second synopsis.
That's a solid tagline, and that's the movie that I wanted to watch. And I don't think that's the movie that we do watch. It's, you know, I don't know.
Think this movie doesn't know what movie it is at all.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is. Well, let's see if Colin figured it out at all with a 60-second synopsis.
All right, haven't done this in a while. In the 1860s Wild West, a group of misfit settlers, including ex-doctor Phil Taylor, prostitute Belle, and a gay bookseller named Julian Rogers, decide they cannot live in their current situation in the West, so they hire a grizzled alcoholic wagon master by the name of James Harlow to take them on a journey back to their hometowns in the East. Comedic exploits ensue as the drunken wagon master lets his horse choose the correct fork in the road, leads them to a dried-out watering hole, and eventually guides them into Sioux territory where they are captured. The chief, however, sympathetic to the idea of white men heading back east, offers an escort off Sioux land. Meanwhile, they must also contend with inept hired gunslingers who have been sent by railroad magnates to stop the journey as they fear the bad publicity it could create for the settlers about to commence a land rush into the West. Harlow's secret that he had been a wagon master for the infamous Donner Party is revealed, and he's confronted by the group, and they decide to proceed on their own while he resumes his drinking at the closest tavern, where he overhears that the cavalry will be coming to wipe the group out as directed by the head of the railroad company. As the cavalry arrives the next day and the group square their wagons, Harlow rides into the rescue and calls out the cavalry leader to single combat. After a drawn-out and comical fight scene, Harlow is victorious and the group celebrates. Harlow and Belle decide to pursue a relationship. Julian departs for somewhere even further west, San Francisco, and the group rides towards the now visible St. Louis to finish the journey. There we go.
Right on. To that arch in the west, east, where are they at this point? I don't know. Yeah.
I really thought movie was going to end with them just back in the town that they came from.
Yeah, see, that almost would have been a good punchline, right?
Yeah, like I thought
fuck
that
it,
was
fine.
I thought that was the natural end, but that's not what we get. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not. Oh boy. So Wagons East on our show. I mean, we have definitely discussed John Candy before. We've both admitted how much we do enjoy the John Candy that we are exposed to in our lives. And recently we did Canadian Bacon on this show, which was his last movie released, even if this is the movie that he died while he was filming. And that might explain some of the weirdness with the plots, because there are a few scenes that had to be cut because John Candy was no longer with us. So there might have been things that helped make things make more sense at points. But this is one of those movies that it came out around the time as Almost Heroes, and the two of those movies are basically just a blur of one big movie to me at times.
Yeah.
That I have trouble separating which was which. Like, our recent watch of Almost Heroes made me go, oh, okay, that stuff was in Wagons East. So it's a movie that I watched but barely remember. I just remember it was a big deal because it was John Candy's last film. So, Colin, what about you? Do you have any special extra anecdotes about Wagons East? What's your history here?
No, I'd literally never heard of this movie.
Oh, okay.
Until you brought it up. I think maybe you first brought it up when we did Blazing Saddles, but you definitely brought it up with the comparison to Chris Farley during Almost Heroes, I remember. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like...
I thought you had seen it.
No, I had not. I feel like this is okay. Like the last... This might be the last John Candy movie that I hadn't seen. I think I've seen all his other movies.
Oh, no, I'm sure we'll find some. Like, have you seen Armed and Dangerous?
Oh, no, okay. Proven already.
Have you seen Only the Lonely? Have you seen Who's Harry Crumb?
No. Okay. All right, we've got a lot more to do.
You've seen a lot of his big ones. Like, you've definitely seen, you know, the Cool Runnings of the world. Oh, shit.
I have seen Cool Runnings.
Okay, the look on your face, it was like, you're like, oh, okay.
No, I have seen Cool Runnings. To be fair, I only watched it for the first time maybe like 5 years ago, but I have seen it.
Okay.
I was thinking though, like, do we have like a tracker of like what actor lead, like who have we covered the most? I want to say it has to be Macaulay Culkin just because we did a whole month devoted to him, but I have to feel like John Candy is in the running.
Probably. Just even because when you factor in his few scenes in Home Alone, when you factor in his cameo and career opportunities, like, those aren't John Candy films, but he was in them. So I feel like John Candy, but you know, it's going to be someone random, like Mary Ellen Trainor is our most covered person.
Sure.
You know, one of these, some, you know, like, people, Al Leong or some shit, you know?
Yeah.
But I agree with you. John Candy is probably one of the ones that we have covered most so far. Yeah, just because of those extra little parts that he has in some of the movies we've come across.
Yeah.
Because Summer Rental and
Planes, and Planes,
Canadian
Trains.
Bacon, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yeah. Yeah. Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done five of his movies where he's like a leading role. So that I can think of right there. Yeah. Oh, right on. But we love John Candy. Canada's own John Candy. Yeah. Well, here we go. Let's jump into Wagons East, directed by Peter Markle. I was curious whether it was like Meghan Markle's dad or something. Nah, I couldn't find any connection. Produced by Gary M. Goodwin, Robert F. Neumeier, Barry Rosen, and Jeffrey Silver. And written by Matthew Carlson, who has like mostly TV credits, like Wonder Years, Malcolm in the Middle, stuff like that. And Jerry Abrahamson, which this is his only credit. So, you know, that's the powerhouse writing team behind Wagons East right there. So I guess John Candy, he mostly agreed to do this movie because he had $1 million debt, a CFL debt, because he was a part owner of the Toronto Argonauts.
Oh,
And
wow.
at the time, at the time he had this $1 million that was due, and so he's like, he didn't agree with the movie, but he's like, oh, okay, fine, I'll do it anyway. So that's the reason why we have Wagons East. But then the guy that was the majority owner of the Argonauts ended up selling while they were filming. And when John Candy found out, he was so pissed off, he went on a 2-day tequila bender. So that probably didn't help his health in this movie. Like he gained a lot of weight during this movie. That's part of the thing that's sad about this movie
Yeah.
is like
I was gonna say, like, similar. I think I mentioned this when we watched Almost Heroes, but like when we had watched Almost Heroes, I had just, well, not just, but the reason why I had originally wanted to watch Almost Heroes is because I had just finished listening to Matthew Perry's book and where he talked about Chris Farley and that kind of stuff. And I found, like, similarly watching Almost Heroes with that in my mind, and then watching Wagons East, like pre-knowing that it was like Chris Farley's last movie and that he like died in
Or
the filming
you mean
of it.
John Candy? You
John
said Chris
Candy. Yeah,
Farley's.
sorry,
Yeah,
sorry.
sorry.
Yeah, John Candy. It made it like sad to see him. Like I
A
kept
little bit.
thinking like he died at like 43 and
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn like 38 this year or whatever. And I was
Mm-hmm.
like, oh, like he's only like 5 years older than me. And I was like looking at him, and I was like, man, that dude looks rough. Like
Yeah, yeah.
that is a guy who's like not taking care of himself. Like,
He's 2 years younger than me.
yeah,
In
that's
this
wild.
movie, I'm 45.
Yeah.
So I like to think that I don't quite look that rough.
No, like he, and I mean, I know like maybe part of it is the character, but like, I don't know. I think there's just something, especially like considering like when you watch him in other movies, like say Uncle Buck or even Canadian Bacon. I don't know. There, like I don't, maybe I'm reading too far into him, but I just kept wanting to think like there's just something in his eyes where I
Oh
was
no,
like,
it's
where I was
I
like,
agree. It's a tough energy to take into this movie.
yeah, like there's just
Like,
something in his eyes where I'm like, that dude looks like tired. Like he looks like he's like on the ropes.
I mean, I read that he was also like he was homesick. He had just quit smoking before he started this movie. So he had a lot of other stuff going on. The whole fucking Toronto Argonaut shit going on too at the same time. Like, yeah, he had a lot going on behind those eyes. And so,
Yeah.
yeah, it you go into this movie with that those thoughts, and it's like, oh, that's a bad place to start this movie from. And
Yeah.
so we open the movie, and we've got the like the town of Prosperity. Like we open it with like the Western background, like Blazing Saddles did in Almost Heroes. I mean, that's
Yeah.
all they can come up with. They're like, ah, this we'll throw the standard thing on the front for a comedy Western movie. We're gonna make it look like a legit Western movie. I enjoyed the sight gag with the population sign though of Prosperity, where when people got gunned down, they're changing it from 67 to 63. I thought that was
Yeah.
a funny. But yeah, we find out that like this is just a shithole, and so we end up like meeting all our main guys that are going to be on this quest for this movie that like really just hate this town. So I mean, let's run down the cast list here first, because obviously we've been talking about our big man, Mr. John Candy here as James Harlow, but who else do we have in this movie?
So yeah, we got John Candy as James Harlow, Richard Lewis as Phil Taylor. Richard Lewis is like a name that I know, I feel like I should know, but I could not place him.
Well, R.I.P. Richard Lewis. He recently passed away, like only a couple months ago.
Okay.
He, if you're a Curb Your Enthusiasm watcher, he was on that a lot, I
Oh,
believe.
okay.
He was in like Robin Hood, Men in Tights. He's a stand-up comedian from the 80s that then got into movies, and he's So gotcha. He was the sheriff of Nottingham in Robin Hood Men in Tights, that kind of thing, you know? So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Phil was, what was his job again? He was the, he was just, the he was like a doctor, right? Oh yeah. Right.
Phil was a doctor.
Yeah. Who, like, he was the doctor.
Who couldn't doctor anymore because he had PTSD.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
We have John C. McGinley as Julian Rogers.
Oh my God. I love John C. I know you're not a Scrubs watcher, but I love him from that show. And he's one of the standout performances in this movie for me. I've always enjoyed John C. McGinley, especially when you compare him to some of the tough guys that he's done. Like, you remember him in Point Break, where he was the FBI agent that busted Keanu Reeves' balls. Yeah.
Yeah, see, like, I was thinking, I'm glad that you mentioned Scrubs, because I saw his face and I was like, I know this guy from somewhere. But yeah. I kept thinking, I'm like, I know him more as, like, bit characters. Mm-hmm. Like, it was Young, Dumb, and
Full of Cum, that guy, right?
Yeah, it was interesting to see him, like, be, like, so front and center in a movie.
Yeah, yeah. But,
yeah, I totally remember him from Scrubs now.
Mm-hmm.
You have Ellen Green as Belle.
Yeah.
I don't know her.
Audrey, Little Shop of Horrors, if you've ever seen the film version of Little Shop of Horrors. Yeah, she actually originated the Audrey role on Broadway, and then she reprised it in the movie as well.
Yeah. Nice.
That's the only thing I know her from, though.
Let's see if she... Is she still alive?
I believe she is.
Oh, she was in Rockadoodle. I don't know that movie.
Well, anytime you get one of these Broadway actresses that can also sing, you're going to throw her in any cartoon with a song.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. It looks like she did mostly stage stuff with, like, spurts of, like, TV and movies.
Yeah.
We have Robert Picardo as Ben Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney A. Grant is Littlefeather / Big Snake. Ed Loader is John Slade. William Sanderson is Zeke. Joel McKinnon Miller is Zach Ferguson.
Now, Joel McKinnon Miller, isn't he from Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't he, like, either Scully or...
He's Scully, yeah.
He's Scully, okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
Who's Robert Picardo?
I know him from Star Trek. And I believe he has appeared in a couple of the other movies that we've done over the years. But yeah, I remember him. He's the holographic doctor on Star Trek Voyager.
Tony Pierce is Junior Ferguson, Marvin J. McIntyre, Irving Ferguson.
Oh, Innerspace! He was the cowboy in Innerspace! With the curly hair and the cowboy?
I think I've watched Innerspace.
Didn't you do... Oh, shit, Aaron did Innerspace with me. Oh, yeah. Fuck. I'm sorry. I knew I did it. I did it on the show. Okay.
Oh, no. I did do Innerspace.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was the last one before you took off.
I did do that one. I was like, no, wait. That does sound familiar.
Oh, my God. I did do that one. It was Maguary.
Right.
Oh boy. Yeah, so he was the cowboy.
Okay. Abraham Benrubi is Abe Ferguson, David Dinard is Harry Bob Ferguson, Thomas F. Duffy is Clayton Ferguson.
So many Fergusons.
So many.
Yeah.
Russell Means is the chief. Lachlan Monroe is Billy.
Yeah, Lachlan Monroe, once we get down into the bottom of these he's one of the only ones I actually know, because Lachlan Monroe shows up in a bunch of, like, Happy Madison type shit.
Yeah,
like, I think he's in Bench Warmers. I think
he was Betty's dad in Riverdale.
Oh, Riverdale. That's what I remember him from.
Yeah, I know him mostly from, like, yeah.
Oh, he was in the Smallville episode.
He was in Smallville. He's been in, like, a few of those WBCW shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think we've kind of basically reached the, I don't know any of these other people, so there we go. Cast list, wrapped it up, I think. Yeah. I don't know what to say about this movie, because, like, it's just, it was messy. We get a lot of, like, fun setups in the beginning here. You know, we get the shootout in the bank or at the doctor's office, wherever it is. Like, that's why I wasn't exactly sure what Richard Lewis was, because... Was he just in the bank, or was he also a banker?
I really like, I feel like the doctor thing, like, I don't know. This movie to me screams like a movie that was like half improvised and half like written on the fly.
A little bit,
Because I feel like
yeah.
the doctor thing really only comes up later on after what's his face gets shot and he has to like remove the bullet and then he like finds his courage to do so. Like I feel like
Yeah.
they explain the fact that he's a doctor in all that.
Yeah. Well, see, or am I thinking of the wrong person in the shootout, maybe? Or was that him? See, because I remember he was the one that was he was the cattle rustler, like he was trying to get his cows back. So maybe I'm forgetting who was actually in the gunning or the shootout. But then we also have like we have John C. McGinley, that the book scene I remember, where the guy wants the big damn book and he wants to test it at the outhouse first. So I mean, I guess that kind of got a guffaw out of me, a little snort.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this movie, I will say it was tough. It was a tough one for me. Like I thought I liked the concept of these people
Reaching
like
the end of their
that
rope.
that yeah, like that they've had enough of the West and they want to go east. But when the whole like antagonism becomes like
When Big Railroad comes into the
yeah,
picture.
and that's your big bad, and their whole thing is like, no, we basically like we don't want people to move back because we're trying to like drive people out west. I don't know, that's kind of where it all fell apart a little bit. Like I thought it kind of should have like I don't know, maybe this is stupid. I kind of thought a better premise would have been actually similar, well not even similar to Almost Heroes, but more of just like the adventure. Like them facing the elements, good. Like, of course, you have like the stereotypical, like they run into like Indian territory and like all that and whatever. Like,
Yeah, of course.
I feel like that's happened in every Western adjacent movie we've watched on this podcast so far.
Hell, even Back to the Future Part 3 has a scene where.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I don't think you've seen that one, but I'll just put that one out there. But yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
But I
yeah.
kind of just felt like it would have been a better story would have been like they leave to go, you have this like idiot like just let like John Candy be an idiot like wagon master, use his comedy to like max effect, and have it be more about like, hey, maybe the West wasn't so bad because it's pretty damn hard to go back east, and maybe and then in the whole thing when they're like they've reached the end of their rope and they're like, we can't take it anymore, like they realize that they've just been like going in a circle and
The big circle.
they wind up back in the at their home and they're all happy and they like learn to live like with the West.
That feels, yeah,
Like
like having the mustache twirling villain. I mean, it was almost like that's where the movie went off the rails right there. You
yeah.
know, ironically, with the railroad guys, that's where it went off the rails. Yeah, that's where I'm like, oh, this is how we're doing this movie, because I had forgotten completely. It's okay, fine. That's the story. You guys don't want people coming back east, so
Yeah.
you're going to sabotage them. You're going to kill them off with the most useless people that you can find. Excellent. Yeah.
Probably my favorite character introduction was I think it's like, is it Constance who's the mail order bride?
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
so like when she shows up and is like she's here to meet her husband or whatever, and it's like five guys and they're like, oh, we all chipped in or whatever. I was like, that's funny. Like that's something I would have never thought of. Like, well, the idea that people would do
Yeah,
that.
and see, I think that was what I found funniest in this movie was just the slow killing off of the Ferguson clan throughout this movie.
Yeah.
Right? Like it was just, you know, the little side story between her and Billy, where it was, okay, one down, yeah, we're gonna see how many of these Fergusons we can kill off. And so I thought that was a bit of a funny side plot. But that was one of the only funny plots in this movie for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really had a tough time with this movie. And it sucks because I'm coming right off of watching Ghost Dad with Chris, and Ghost Dad was a piece of shit too. So it's
Oh,
like, ah,
really?
back to back weeks here.
Is Ghost Dad a Cosby?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh,
I finally decided to pull the trigger on
wow.
that. I danced around it. I mean, I understand that he's a terrible man, but it was a big part of my childhood, so that's how I justified it. And
Nice.
but outside, I mean, even if he wasn't a trash person, it was still just a piece of shit
Just a
movie.
bad movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and here we have like one of the comedians I love the most out there, and unfortunately, it's a piece of shit movie. So it's a hard one. But
Yeah,
anyway, so
like
they.
it's just every joke in this movie I felt like fell, like I would say the first 10 minutes, the introduction to everybody is very good, I thought. I thought that was like really enjoyable.
It does have its moments, absolutely, yeah.
But once the decision is made to head out east and they get on the wagons and they get going, I felt like every single joke falls flat. The horse pick the road thing falls flat. When they're like clearly going in a circle around that little area, it like just falls flat. When you get the when they are like searching for water or whatever, and he backs up and falls into the thing, and then the other dude dives in and is just like stuck there. That was kind of funny, but it like wasn't as, like it is nothing. None of the
Yeah,
comedy
the
like.
fork in the road was kind of funny, where he's been trying to figure it out for an hour and a half, and then it's like they go out there and he's fallen asleep on the horse trying to decide which way to go. And
Yeah.
then the sight gag of it's now nighttime and they're coming back to the fork and going the other way. Like, yeah,
Yeah.
there were little moments like that, but like the threads that tie it all together, it was all flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the comedy just doesn't land as well as you would like. And I was like, I don't know why I don't like want to fat shame anybody, but I was really uncomfortable watching John Candy on atop a horse.
I felt bad for that horse.
I don't know
I
if that
know,
was I
yeah.
don't know if that was actually him, but like a man that large should not be like astride a horse. I don't know,
He should have been
like
in one of the wagons, yeah. Yeah, I think so. His introduction is not too bad, 'cause I mean we've got him playing the drunk. I'm amazed that he remembered the next day though that he had actually agreed to do this. But like I
Yeah.
do the, you know, we leave at dawn. Noonish, we leave it noonish. But yeah, I'm definitely impressed that he remembers. But they never did tell him where they were going. So how far west are they? Like where was Paradise City or
Paradise
Prosperity or
City.
whatever? Prosperity. Where was this place? Was it in California? Because I forget where he thought they were actually going to go, but he was surprised to find out that they wanted to go east.
Yeah, it must have been. I feel like there was a mention of California.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I guess if you're going west, that's where you're going to end, once you hit water.
Yeah.
So, I don't understand where he thought that he was being hired to, unless I missed a line, but I
Yeah.
don't know.
I don't remember.
But yeah, they're riding along too, and we get to see the heroic riding part. That was one of those moments where I really felt bad for the
The
is when he's
horse.
like leaning over for the doll to show off to the local lady of the evening, and he wanted
Yeah,
to look like a hero, so he rescues the doll.
I have a feeling that his death, like John Candy's death, really impacted that storyline. To
Yeah.
me, to because to me that their whole thing seems like one of the most unfinished. Like they have their little moment at the end, but like there's not a lot that happens like in between.
Yeah.
There's just these like little things, but like not enough to me that where you're like, oh yeah, they're gonna have this like whirlwind romance or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean you're more invested in the one between Billy and Constance, right? And who will die next?
I couldn't help but think the whole time I was watching what's that guy's name? Lachlan something.
Lachlan Monroe, yeah.
That he looks like the love child of Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Like if you mash those two's face together, you get this guy. Like it's so
I can see
Yeah.
it. Oh, that's
Every
great.
time he came on screen, I was just like, well, he's looking a little more Damon now, but I can still see Ben. I can still see Ben
Yeah.
there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do have the one running joke as well with the one guy that can always almost remember something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so So, like, we've got these seeds being planted that something's up with Harlow the whole way through. He's, yeah, I remember that name. Oh, I just can't remember why. It was either he did something really good or really bad. Like, there.
That whole thing, too, though, was like, I just looked it up before. I had no idea that the Donner Party was a real thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so. I feel like you're depending a lot on you're for a 90-minute slapstick comedy. You're putting a lot of like
faith on people's historic knowledge.
Yeah, of like this infamous Donner Party. Because I just assume that not that it takes away, but I think it would have added a lot more if I had thought like, oh, this was something like historically real.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it is a famous thing. It wasn't a inept guide that led to their demise, though. It was just, like, impassable, you know, places and stuff like that. So, yeah, that wasn't the case. But, no, yeah, the Donner Party is very much real. And, yes, cannibalism. And so, of course, now, once they do end up finding out Harlow's connection, everyone is terrified that they're going to get eaten. Mm-hmm. So that's hilarious.
Yeah, see, but it would have been funnier if it was like, I don't know, a little bit more set up. Like they needed to. I think the problem with that was actually that those three guys had that conversation where we learn about the cannibalism, and then it's like the next day they wake up in the snow. Like I think it needed to simmer a little bit more.
Yeah.
For the funny of like the cannibalism to like land better.
Yeah. But I guess then you're relying on your audience having too long of a memory.
Yeah.
You're already counting on them knowing about this historic event.
Yeah. This movie was missing the, like, I don't know. I'm just going to keep comparing it to Almost Heroes. Because the more I think about it, the more I feel...
It's the easiest thing to compare it to. I mean, it's almost like whatever this one is missing and whatever Almost Heroes was missing, if you could somehow have combined the two stories, you would have had this unstoppable comedy western. But
like what this movie is missing is the Matthew Perry to John Candy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like he's too far removed from the rest of the group.
Yeah.
There needed the actual group needed like a real leader that was like kind of like a budding friendship between whoever that would have been, probably Phil and like James. Where they like had more of that, the dynamic you see between Matthew Perry and Chris Farley. Because with that, I was also saying, is like, what this movie is missing is the eagle scene, like the eagle shell, like scene, like where like, because instead of like James is going and leaving the group, I think it would have been better if he had to like kind of go off and like prove himself somehow. Like they get stranded and he's like, I'm not gonna let this happen again, and then he goes and he finds a way and he carries them through and he's like a hero instead of just like leaving them. And you know, I guess he does come back, but it's like, I don't know, that whole thing where he comes back to confront the cavalry, just, I don't know, it just, again, it felt like it went on too long and just like fell flat.
Yeah, I like, that's the thing, is as I go through my notes, I see a bunch of funny moments, like Richard Lewis's family in the wagon with the, are we there yet? Don't make me turn this wagon around. Like, I mean, the fact that you're having this old timey thing with the modern flair, like stuff like that was very funny, but it's just, it's all these broken up funny moments.
Yeah, it's like sketches, just, like a bunch of sketches put together.
Yeah, so there were definitely moments that I laughed and thought were funny, but I walk away from the movie overall just feeling let down and, you know, a little bit sad.
We also needed a Eugene Levy type character in this one.
Well, I that might be what the John C. McGinley's character was supposed to be, right? Instead of, you know, the wild Frenchman, you have the flamboyant bookseller.
Yeah,
you know? Like when he goes to get his special, you know, with the moccasins, like, yeah. He's like, oh, I've got moccasins. Like, you know, he's got his special outfits and stuff. Like he was like John C. McGinley was the standout, even though there's probably tingles going on in the back of my head thinking that some of these jokes are punching down.
Yeah.
But he was the funniest character in the movie to me.
For sure. Like, one of the funniest jokes actually in the entire movie, I think, gets like kind of missed because it's in subtitles, but it's when the Sioux find the group like in their territory, and the chief's like, well, how did they manage to get like so close or whatever? Yeah, and they're like, well, he was wearing moccasins, and you're like,
it's kind of funny.
Like, it does seem like almost heroes. It's weird because they're so similar that it seems like whoever made Almost Heroes, they had
like it was a race to see which one they could get out first.
Yeah, I wonder I wonder if they were being produced at the same time, or if the producers of Almost Heroes like took any like inspiration from Wagons East.
Yeah,
and we're just like, well, we really like this stuff about it, but we're gonna like try to improve on it, because it's like I feel like I can see some of that, but I could just be making it up and inferring, knowing that they came out.
Almost Heroes was 98, I believe, wasn't
98,
it?
98, yeah.
Yeah, so you're right. Maybe it looked like they're like, well, the Wagons East movie had ideas, but we can improve on that. Yeah, just like you said. So I think maybe it's they thought they could improve on it, but they didn't.
And it's also just like kind of mind-boggling that it's like John Candy and Chris Farley are like so, I don't know, like similar in their, I don't know, the role that I feel like they played in their respective like comedy areas. And it's kind of just so weird that they both made such similar movies and it was both their like last movie.
Yeah, it is kind of an eerie. It's like that meme that was going around about all the different Mary Janes over the years and how they've
played
gone
tennis
on
movies.
And been the wife of a soul, or this Peter Parker's have also gone on to play soldiers or something like that. Yeah, like it's this weird coincidence. Yeah, these two large men, that legendary comedians that both died following their terrible, terrible Western comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know one thing that I definitely find hard to do is find a segue for Sponsorship Corner. There's not very many, and I don't know how many of them are real anyway. So always on the lookout for product placements and movies. This week, Wagons East is brought to you by Julian Rogers Bookseller, Whiskey, Prosperity Saloon, the St. Louis Tribune, and the Evening Star Newspapers. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. Those last two might have been real. Well, and here's another one. Like, all the ladies have questions for the prostitute. That was a funny moment as well, where they're just
she
thinks
funny.
That she's going to be, she's going to be shunned by them, and they're all, so what's it like? Yeah. I don't even know where we are. I guess we're kind of, we've been
meandering.
Sort of meandering all over the place. But I think we've ended up in Injun country, as they say. So we're in the Sioux area, and the tribe captures them. Let's pick up there. That was another funny moment where they woke up and they found out that they had been led into the middle of the Sioux camp. That's where they wake up for the day. I thought that was a great moment. It was a funny moment.
Yeah, the juvenile, I like that. The juvenile in me still laughed at the like guy who's the one, indigenous guy, I guess. I'll call him that. Who, like his name was like Little Feather or whatever, and how his like his dad like renames him like Big Snake.
Big Snake. It's like, Dad, why do you call me Little Feather?
You know I hate that.
He wants some emo bangs on him. Yeah. Well, see, and the other thing that doesn't really seem to match up with any of the other humor in this is the side plot with the Slade guy who is trying to kill them the whole time. Like, the assassin,
like
that
the
has been
hired
hired by by a big railroad, because he ends up turning into like Wile E. Coyote at one point.
Yeah.
Where he has like this plan with the rocks to dump rocks on them, and it all backfires, like he's bought his rocks from Acme.
Yeah, that's I would say like maybe the villains are probably the biggest problem in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
Like even later on when the cavalry gets involved, and you know, the one guy is pretty funny, like the guy who comes and like meets them and gives them 24 hours, like he's pretty funny. But then like the actual like leader of the cavalry, I don't know, he just was like an idiot. Like I just didn't like he just never seemed like truly threatening. He seemed like a really bad, like he was trying to do like a really bad version of like Alan Rickman's Prince John from Robin Hood. Like he just like
the sheriff. Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one. Because between the cavalry and the Slade guy and everyone like chasing after them, like it's just, I don't know, it's just messy. It's also been a while since I've watched it. Oh yeah, that was another one Slade does, is the dynamite on the bridge. That was the other one that was like so Wile E. Coyote, where it's like this.
You're just waiting for him to drop an anvil on somebody's head.
Yeah, you guys have made two different movies here, is basically what's going on.
Yeah, I wonder, again, with, like, John Candy's death, if some of the, like, villain stuff was added to, like, fill time. Because even, like, that first guy, maybe it would have been better if they brought the cavalry in earlier, and the whole time it was leading up to this massive, we were going to get to this big, like, standoff between them and the cavalry. Or something like that. Because the cavalry is kind of just like thrown in there randomly at like the last 15 minutes or 20 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where you have even gone to the lengths of trying to connect your lead character to an actual historic event.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you like make it so that these people accidentally end up at, I don't know, you know, the Alamo, or I don't know what big, you know, events there were in the States, but like one of these big, you know, the Little Bighorn, like these are names that I know, but I don't know what the actual events are, but make them like innocent bystanders, like almost on a Gumpian level, make them innocent bystanders to these moments in history instead, because they're going the wrong fucking way.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's, you know, that's where the movie is. It's not big railroad trying to shut them down. It's the adventure. It's the friends you make like along the
like
way.
Like instead of going east, they end up in like Mexico.
Yeah.
Like it's like or like Texas or I don't know.
Canada.
Canada. Yeah. Like they could have added a lot if they had like grounded it more in like history. If they were gonna do the thing with the Donner Party, like have other like notable people, not just like random people that you would run into.
Yeah, they don't run into a Sioux tribe. They run into Sacagawea's tribe, you know, like something like that. Like it's, they stumble across Pocahontas. Like it's, bring in like actual, they encounter Chris Farley and Matthew Perry going the other way. That would be great. I don't know. Yeah, I just, It is a little disappointing that the cavalry shows up, and you're right, it's like the last little bit of the movie. Another one of these little vignettes that they're doing, you know, let's do this little sketch now. This is the cavalry sketch.
Yeah.
The cavalry though does have a funny moment though, where they're talking about, you know, oh yeah, your standard cavalry massacre is gonna happen. You know, go ahead and ask him, and he points at one of the Sioux guys.
Oh, yeah. I did think that was a really funny joke, but also it was kind of one that I like laughed, and I was like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, it's funny because it's true? Yeah. No, it's not funny, but it was funny, but yeah, like that was one of those ones though where I'm like, that's some clever writing.
Yeah.
That one was one that was very smart. But like in the end, after everyone has been led safely through Indian territory and all that sort of stuff, this is where they find where Harlow gets outed for being the guy that was actually the leader of the Donner Party. So he goes off drinking, but that's where he overhears the cavalry's plan so he can come and rescue everyone at the end. But yes, instead of circling the wagons, they're going to square the wagons. Because then they have to run around farther. It's gonna mess them up. It's a clever plan. And then the indigenous guys in the inside, where they're like, so that's what it looks like in here. That was also kind of a funny line.
Yeah.
They've never been on the inside of a circle of wagons.
I thought it was weird. I guess, I don't know, that was another one where it's like, maybe I haven't watched, like, enough Westerns to, like, get the full, like, part of the thing I think I struggled with this movie is that maybe I just haven't seen enough Westerns to really understand, like, the tropes that are being poked fun at.
Yeah.
Because...
So, I mean, circling the wagons is basically you're making yourself a barricade.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You're making yourself a fort, so that's all that is, so... But, I can see where...
But I thought it's like, what, like up. They're like, once they start squaring the wagons, it's like everybody's like taking their stuff out and they're like setting tables and like,
oh, it's a right tailgate party, like, yeah, in there, isn't it?
It's just. I was also thinking too, like, maybe they didn't have the budget for more extras, but like, it's a pretty small cavalry that comes to meet them.
It is, yeah. And another one of those jokes that made me laugh was the guy that had the tuba instead of the bugle for the cavalry charge.
Yeah,
that was also kind of funny. Yeah, but Harlow shows up to save the day, and then what the hell does that note say? The fittest fate goes home for a long time. What?
I don't know where you hide.
No, it's just my voice to text is garbage sometimes. So sometimes I've noticed that my voice to text will pick up some of the words from my TV.
Oh,
so it'll,
yeah,
throw in random lines of dialogue. So maybe someone said fittest. I don't know. But ooh. Yeah, so Harlow calls out the general, and that's the... the fist fight!
Oh, there you go.
The fist fight goes on for a long time, and everyone else, meanwhile, just kind of breaks off and... goes back to do their own thing.
Yeah, I think of all the, I don't know, comedy missteps, I think in this movie, I thought that fight was just stupid. I didn't think it was remotely funny at all. I thought it just was like, so like, it was too juvenile even for a John Candy movie. Like, it was, I don't know, I hated it. I actually think it ruined the movie for me. It made this a movie that I will never watch again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's probably a movie that I'm never going to watch again myself. I mean, I'm pretty sure I said that I've probably watched this for the last time as well. So, which is too bad because it's John Candy, but there's better John Candy out there. So, yeah, in the end, they are let off of the Sioux country, and they're allowed to go on to St. Louis, and they will be killed if they ever set foot on that land again, and the end. So, I guess they kind of made it to St. Louis. The end, right? Like, that's the thing. The ending itself is just also a fart in the wind, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like, when you think... I don't know about you, but I don't know, for whatever reason, to me, when I was thinking, like, they're headed east, I was like, they're going to New York.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I thought, if they were going, like I said, I actually thought they were just going to end up back where they started, but if they were going east, I expected that they were going to New York.
Yeah, yeah. That seems like the logical plan, but...
And instead, they went to St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, they gave up halfway. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, it's not as west.
Yeah.
The St. Louis hockey team counts as an east team, so. Yeah.
They were singing the blues.
Yep. Well, there we go. That is Wagons East, I guess.
I guess, yeah. Oh, it's kind of funny. I was like... This will probably end up being like one of our shorter podcasts ever, but I was like, this movie has no plot.
No,
Like,
there
there's
isn't
no,
much.
like, that's the biggest problem with this movie. The story is minimal. It's just gag after gag after gag.
Yeah, it's all and any plot that there is side plot. Like the best
Yeah.
plots are the side plot, like the whole Billy Constance love story with the Fergusons and the like things like that are the better stories, not the main A plot, which there really is not much of. Well, anyway, Colin on IMDb, it scored, wow, 4.8 out of 10, but there's no Metascore listed. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 0% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 33%. But Colin, those are just numbers, like falling off a cliff and discovering water, I guess. Hit us with some reviews.
All right, Tim G gives the movie 0.5 out of 5 stars
Wow,
and
nice.
says, "Jesus Christ, I think we finally found out what killed John Candy. What a train wreck
Oh.
of a movie. It was so bad, the store I tried to sell it to didn't want to buy it. I ended up giving the DVD to some random guy walking by. I hope they're okay."
I mean, I've always talked about my rather large DVD collection I have. I do not own Wagons East, so, even for someone that has a couple thousand DVDs for some reason, yeah, I don't even own Wagons East. I own Ghost Dad, but I don't own Wagons East.
There you go.
Well, Ghost Dad was on like this 10-pack DVD that had it has Ed, the
All
baseball playing. No,
the
it has Ed, the
Cosby
baseball playing Matt LeBlanc movie. It has like Sergeant Bilko. It's like, I don't know, family
Okay.
friendly. Yeah, family favorites.
Cool. Paul S. gives the movie 1.5 out of 5 stars and says, "Not so great. Only interesting because it was John Candy's last movie before passing. A few mild laughs can be found from watching this. Comparisons to Blazing Saddles are pretty absurd. Blazing Saddles is an edgy classic comedy that has maintained its humor over a long time. Agree to disagree. This movie is a stinker. I was hoping to enjoy this more. Lots of familiar faces in this, not really even worth the once over, and I don't think I'll be watching it again."
Yeah. I can feel a lot of that.
All right, last one. Joel H, 2 out of 5 stars, says, "Wagons East isn't the worst comedy I've seen, but it's definitely not a trailblazer. The script feels like it was cobbled together by amateurs, with actors mostly winging it during each scene. The jokes are half-baked and delivered half-heartedly by a seemingly disinterested cast. The basic concept of people going back east because they didn't like the West is amusing, but I don't think this movie knew what to do with it. And it's sad that this film is part of John Candy's final legacy. I kept waiting for one good laugh as I watched Wagons East, but the best it got out of me was an occasional smirk."
Oh, that's one that I can feel that review bet more than just about any other so far. Yeah.
Yeah, that last one kind of makes me, I don't know if we're moving. I will sum up my opinion of this movie.
Sure, yeah, let's do it.
I agree with that last review a lot, where I th again, comparing to Almost Heroes, I feel that, like, despite its faults, one of the things that makes Almost Heroes great is that you can tell that Matthew Perry is 100% in. Like maybe like 110%. Like he's like totally bought into that movie and that character and the funny, and he's just like Max Matthew Perry.
Yeah, 'cause Leslie was a ridiculous character, but he committed.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and every like Eugene Levy, same thing. Like everybody is like 100% committed to their character. You could debate Chris Farley, but Chris Farley is still Chris Farley, and he's funny, and he's like built for that role.
Yeah.
But in this movie, everybody seems off. Everybody seems like they're just like phoning it in. Even as funny as he is, like John C. McGinley, like I would say less so like John C. McGinley, but he's still kind of just doing his shtick. You know, like, but
he would have been the only one that I would push back against, where I say,
yeah.
I think he was all in on a movie where no one else was.
Yeah,
That
totally.
would, if everyone had even given half as much as of what John C. McGinley, you would have at least felt like they wanted to be there.
Yeah, this movie, like what you were saying at the beginning about John Candy, is like it just screams like it was a movie made out of contractual obligation.
Yeah.
Like that nobody it and it's it like just begs the question like why even like make it? It's like when you hear about how studios just have like a slot in their release schedule that they just need to fill and they just need a movie to put in it. And that's how this movie feels to me.
A little bit. Yeah, Wagons East, I like the idea. The ta like I said right at the top, the tagline, that's the movie I wanted to watch. We came, we saw, we changed our minds. That's the movie I wanted to watch, and it's not the movie that we got. We got this weird, messy hybrid. There were definitely funny moments. I do keep going back to that. It's like when I did Year One with Aaron. And Year One is a piece of shit, but there were funny moments. There were definitely moments amongst the shit that made me laugh. And that's very much how, unfortunately, I felt with Wagons East. After Almost Heroes, I was hoping to love Wagons East. I was hoping to come into this one and go, see, that's what Almost Heroes did wrong.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Like, I remember li leaving Almost Heroes and being like, oh, like, I love that movie, but like, it's, I don't love it as much. Like, it kind of, our podcast on it just kind of like poked a lot of holes. But after watching this movie, I'm like, I appreciate Almost Heroes more.
And I feel kind of the same way as I would have said before I sat down and watched both of those movies that this was my favorite of the two. And I think part of that is because the John C. McGinley character is one that I definitely remember, and he always made me laugh. Like the when he's soaping up Lachlan Monroe in the pond, and it's like, oh, cold water usually has the opposite effect on me. I mean, that was a funny moment. And that's one of those moments that for some reason has always just kind of stuck with me all these years, especially after seeing more gruff John C. McGinley characters. But other than that, yeah, this movie, I didn't remember it well, and now I see why, because it's just, yeah, it's a messy movie. It has a few funny moments, but ultimately, yeah, I think I watched Wagons East for the last time, and I would have to say that, yeah, Almost Heroes is the better of these two movies if you were to compare just these two movies. I'd rather go watch Almost Heroes again, but yeah. So for me, the 33% does not surprise me. That's
No.
I'm okay with that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, John Candy. I love you. I'm glad that Canadian Bacon came out after this movie, so that at least there's a little bit of a better legacy to end your career on.
Yeah, I would say like because it's John Candy, I'd give it a 10% for being a John Candy movie, and then I'll tack on another 20% for John C. McGinley's performance.
Yeah, there we go. And yeah, not even John Candy's him showing up was
Him just
enough to get
showing up
to,
and being
yeah. That's like one of those classes that you had in high school where it's
there.
like, hey, if you show up, you're gonna pass.
For the love of a Canadian icon, 10%.
10%. Right on. Well, there we go. That is Wagons East, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy, if you like that show, well, do us a favor and just tell someone. Word of mouth is so important for a podcast. You know, it means so much more coming from a person directly if you tell them that it's a good podcast they should be listening to. Or if you want to tell the world, why not go over to whatever app you listen to your podcasts on? Give us 5 stars. It may take a couple minutes for you, but boy, it means the world to us. Give us some stars, help use those funky algorithms to drive us up some charts, help us get noticed. Or if you want to be a financial supporter of the show, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne. You become an executive producer, so you get a shout out just like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast. I think that's the best I've ever fucking done my credits.
There you go.
Woo!
And be sure to check out our website, iusedtolikethisone.com, where you can find links to all of our social media pages and podcast episodes, and drop us a line at iusedtolikethisone@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
I've just been overwhelmed lately because I don't make my co-hosts do any of, you know, I don't make them do your half of it. So I'm like, you know, I'm always overwhelmed. Yeah, so that was a solid credit delivery. I'm proud of that one. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter and the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. Oh boy, Colin, so good to have you back. I mean, I love my other co-host, Aaron Knowles, and of course, Chris, huge solid that he did me as well.
You have to love him.
I have to. I am contractually all obligated to love him. You know, ever since he stopped living in my basement, you know, I just needed an excuse to spend some quality time with my son. So I'm like, yeah, I'll get him on for 4 episodes, do some daddy issues movies. Yeah, so, but we're back with Western Month. And so next up, I mean, speaking of Chris, we're doing a sequel. And this time, Chris isn't going to be around for this discussion. But what do we have on the menu there, Colin?
Well, I'll make you famous. We're going back to the Old West. Well, I guess, because it's Western Month.
It's Western Month.
I mean, not all of our, are all of our movies set in the Old?
No, two of them are modern. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we're going back to Young Guns, the Young Guns duology with part two. Young Guns 2 will join our friends.
Yeah, make you famous. Yeah.
William H. Bonney. Jose Chavez y Chavez, plus and some new friends in Christian Slater and
John Bon Jovi. Yeah, why did I want to add a whole bunch of extra names to him?
And surprise, surprise appearance by Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah,
I did not know he was in this movie.
Yeah, we've got what's this, Grissom from CSI. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, it's it's star-studded cast.
It's all the same, only the names will change.
There you go. You got it. You got it. So until next week, I'm Sean Wells.
I'm Colin Stewart.
Oh, I should have gone with what you were doing there. You know, I'm Colin Stewart.
Yeah. It's all good.
Only the names have changed, and we'll see you next time on I Used to Like This One. Oh yeah, so they're, I'm not getting through to St. Louis. If they ever see him on their land again, he's gonna have to heal them. God, my voice detects that.
Heal them.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.